It's time for Catholic Sports Weekly with Will Hampton, the program that looks at area Catholic sports and the positive impact they have on athletes, coaches, supporters, and fans. And now, here's Will Hampton.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Welcome to Catholic Sports Weekly. I hope you're enjoying the chilly times that we're having here in central Indiana, if that's where you are listening to this show from. Catholic Sports Weekly is underwritten by AAA Roofing Company and also the Elam Group. Well, Super Bowl 54 is set. Did your team make it? You probably don't remember my predictions, but I thought it was going to be the Saints against the Chiefs. So I got half of it right. It's Kansas City and San Francisco, and already early in the week, the Chiefs have been instilled as the favorite. They are 7-2 odds to win. Kansas City, they had not been in this game for 50 years. What a neat thing for their fans. And I know just from being there and just from seeing the Kansas City fans all these years, they're an organization that really loves a fan base, a city, a community that really loves the Chiefs, and it's neat to see them get back in it. So Kansas City, San Francisco, that'll be Super Bowl 54, Sunday, February 2nd. Before we talk more football and more about this game, we'll dive into it here in a second. What about the Hall of Fame? Did you see they named the centennial class? What they did, the NFL went back into the years, back into the annals, and said, okay, who's not in yet that should be? And they kind of picked several players to get in to the centennial class of the legends, basically, the Hall of Fame class of this year. One guy who did not get in, Drew Pearson, legendary receiver for the Dallas Cowboys, was snubbed. I mean, he got his family together, his friends and family, all together because they thought for sure that Drew Pearson was going to get in. And then he was not called. He did not get in the class for the Hall of Fame. But afterwards, he talked about it. This is Drew Pearson, and you talk about a man who really understands the perspective. Here's Drew Pearson after being snubbed by the NFL Hall of Fame.
What I understand more than anything, even when the Ring of Honor, that happened 29 years after I retired. 29 years. And even at that time, I said it happened now because it's God's time. God said, now's your time. And God has another plan for me. Amen. This is not what he wanted for me. Okay. Maybe he's testing me. But I'll do it the right way. He knows that. So I'm just glad everybody's here to be part of it. Just disappointed, discouraged, disappointed. But it's real. This life. Life is real. We don't get everything we want. But that don't mean we have to give up. Okay? That's the message. Keep fighting and keep churning. And when God says it's the right time, it'll be the right time. But God, I'm 69. Understand that, okay? Understand that. Ain't getting no younger.
That is just great stuff right there from Drew Pearson. He said, God, I'm ready. I'm waiting for you, but I'm 69 years old. It's my pleasure to welcome an old friend, Ryan Deem, former Indianapolis Colts Super Bowl champion. Ryan, good to have you on the show, back on Catholic Sports Weekly.
Yeah, thanks very much for having me, Will. Appreciate it.
Yeah, and they just had that class announced. And funny, Drew Pearson, I mean, he's trying to be patient, but he also knows he's almost 70. That's tough, isn't it, huh?
Yeah, no doubt, no doubt. Guy who's certainly deserving, but, in time. It's out of his hands, right?
It sure is. And I know a couple guys that you played with are sitting there kind of waiting about the Hall of Fame. There's a lot of talk that Edgerrin James is going to get in this time. We'll see. Reggie Wayne also both sitting right there. I'm sure as a guy who played with both those guys kind of think, hey, they should get in, right?
Oh, gosh, yeah, absolutely deserving. Both of them on the finalist list. Edgerrin for, probably the fifth time. He's he's so close, he's been there, and it's kind of one of those things where you got to bide your time a little bit, and it's a little bit of a waiting game. Sometimes there's a little bit of a seniority thing where guys who have done something before you kind of got to wait till they get in before you get your chance, but certainly both deserving. And see Reggie make it to the finalist list as a first-timer. That's really neat. I mean, both guys were incredible athletes, did some amazing things on the field, but, you know, good people off the field as well.
Well, I mean, you've got like Drew Pearson, he has not gotten in. He's a receiver, and it seems like the receiver position is one of the toughest to get in because there's so many guys with big numbers, you know, statistically probably deserve to get in, right? That makes it tough on the receivers, I think.
Sure, you know, absolutely, especially after, you know, you look back the past probably 20 to 30 years, the NFL has become a passing league, right? You're probably not going to see as many running backs throwing up ridiculous numbers as you will see quarterbacks and receivers just piling up the stats. So yeah, the game has changed a little bit over time, and there are a lot of really talented guys out there that are just kind of waiting for their chance.
Yeah, sure. We're talking with Ryan Deem, getting ready for a big event. We're going to talk about that in just a bit, the Strikeout Cancer event that's coming up this Sunday at Woodland. But, Ryan, I got to get your take on what's going on with Super Bowl 54. Kansas City and San Francisco, probably the two best teams in football, and it looks like it for this year. Do you agree that this is about as good a matchup as we could have gotten?
Yeah, it's going to be an exciting game. I think you got two pretty electric offenses that can do some stuff. You know, at any given moment, they can just turn it on. And I think we've seen that with Kansas City now. You know, last week when they spotted Tennessee 24 and come back with a vengeance and hang, 50-plus points on them, pretty incredible. So, they've got a really potent offense. You can never sleep on them. And the Niners are looking pretty sharp as well. So it should be a pretty good matchup. I'm imagining a kind of a high-scoring game.
Yeah, San Francisco's defense is really good. I think that they're a better defense than Kansas City. But you, as a former offensive lineman, played for the Colts for several years. You had to love the way the 49ers on Sunday in their win over Green Bay, how they were blocking and getting downfield. My goodness, the blocking from the tight ends and the receivers, that was a full team effort, wasn't it, to run the football?
No question. Yeah, you got to have everybody on the same page. I saw them, they even highlighted some offensive linemen a couple times, which, you know, for us, it doesn't happen often.
Well, you're not supposed to. You guys get fined when the media talks about you, right?
That's right. That's right. Or if we've gotten highlighted, it's because we probably screwed up.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah,
we like to live in the shadows a little bit. But those guys did a nice job yesterday all across the board, and it certainly showed. Those guys played great.
Yeah, I think it's a tough one to predict. I'm kind of surprised the Chiefs have been made the favorite. I think a lot of people, I know me, I didn't see the 49ers play much this year. I saw the Chiefs play several times, but didn't really know much what was going on out west with San Francisco. What do you think? What will be some of the reasons why one team wins or another? What do you think about this matchup as far as who you think is going to win it?
You know, I'm leaning towards the Chiefs as well. I know I don't sound like I'm jumping on the bandwagon, but, man, they've got so many weapons offensively. It just kind of reminds me of the Colts, yep. 2000s, where we just had so many options, and it was you just kind of pick your poison. The defense would try to, take something away from us, but it just opened up something else. And I feel like the Chiefs kind of have that. And you've got a really dynamic quarterback who can really change the game. So, I think it's going to be a good game. Like I said, high scoring. But I give the nod to the Chiefs in this one.
Well, I tell you, if Mahomes runs the ball like he did against Tennessee, I don't see how anybody beats him, maybe ever. Because, my goodness, that's another weapon that you just really can't guard against, can you?
Yeah, and that's a weapon that we didn't have.
Yeah, no. Are you saying Peyton couldn't run the ball? Is that what you're saying?
I mean, he would trick some people on occasion. But yeah. Let's be honest, he didn't move like Mahomes.
One of my favorite Peyton Manning moments is when he did the naked bootleg at the Superdome in New Orleans. Remember that? And he went around the end and he scored. And I don't think anybody knew he had the ball. Was that?
That's the only way he could get away from people. He had to trick them.
And he called that right on his own. If I remember, that was one that even you guys didn't know he was going to do it, right?
Yeah, no, he did that a couple times where, we'd have the play dialed up. And, I mean, I'd be looking, like, where is the ball? And there he is on the opposite end of the field, untouched, just trotting in.
Yeah. That is the thing no one would expect is Peyton Manning running the football. We're talking with Ryan Deem, former Indianapolis Colt Super Bowl champion, and you've got a big event coming up this weekend. Tell me about Strikeout Cancer at Woodland Bowl.
Yeah, we've got Woodland Bowl and Carmel. We've got the entire place rented out, 70 lanes, sold out. We are just blessed to have the support from all the local businesses that have really stepped up, especially Northwestern Mutual. They're our title sponsor. And we're going to have over 450 people at Woodland Bowl Saturday night, the 25th. Just because it's sold out for bowling, though, we are still selling non-bowling tickets. So if anyone has interest, go to our website, strikeoutcancerindy.com. You can register on there. You can still show up and partake in the festivities. We're going to have tons of prizes available. We've got dinner and drinks. Everything's provided. You get a gift bag out of the deal. So for $50, you can come as a non-bowler and still participate. And we'd love to have as many people as possible to support the cause. And, of course, that cause is pediatric cancer research. We're benefiting Peyton Manning Children's Hospital in that respect. So we've partnered with the St. Vincent Foundation, and they're handling all kind of the back-end logistics as far as payment. So you know when you're giving your money, it's going to the right place, and they're going to put it right to use for some really neat research projects and some treatments and trials for kids that are struggling right now in central Indiana.
Yeah, what a great cause. And Saturday night at Woodland Bowl. And you said for the $50, people should show up at what time?
It starts at 6 o'clock.
Okay.
About 6 to 10 o'clock, Woodland Bowl, the 25th. StrikeoutCancerIndy.com has all the information. Like I said, $50 gets you that non-bowling ticket. And you can come, you get dinner included, drinks included, a chance to get some great prizes, and we're just going to have a fun night. I always enjoy this one because it's real. It's short. It's quick. It's fun. People enjoy it. It's like a big party. You know, we've done golf outings for a long time, and they're great, but that's a full day. This is an easy commitment. Anyone can come bowl. You know, if you want to buy bumpers, I think we're going to sell bumpers this year because, Will, I know your game is weak.
Yeah, game is very weak. You know what I've surprised me about bowling is you have to be more flexible than I thought you had to.
We're not kids anymore, Will.
Yeah, I know. You actually have to bend over and get pretty close to putting a hand on the ground. That's tough for me.
I hear you, man.
Well, you and your wife, Julie, thank you so much for what you do. And I know it touches your heartstrings. And this, like you said, this is making a difference here locally. And that's why it touches your heartstrings, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, we just love supporting this cause. It's severely underfunded nationally, and just to think about kids that are struggling, it just, how can you turn away, right? Yeah. You got to help, and that's our frame of mind here, and we've been given this opportunity to kind of have a platform, and that was all going back to Coach Dungy, really just encouraging us to kind of get behind a cause and bring it some awareness and try to help out. So that's what we're doing, and we try to have a lot of fun doing it.
Yeah, and you guys do. StrikeOutCancerIndy.com, right?
Yep.
.com. You got it. All right. Thank you, Ryan. And you're saying the Chiefs. That's your. Give me a score. What's your score?
I'm going to say 42-38.
Wow, big numbers.
Yeah. Yeah. I think they score at the end to win it.
Who wins the coin toss? That's a big bet that starts the game.
I'm going to say tails never fails. Whoever calls tails.
Okay, tails wins. You got it from Ryan Dean. Thank you.
All right, take care.
We're back to part two of Catholic Sports Weekly after this.
You're listening to Catholic Radio Indy, converting the culture to Christ through radio, featuring 100% Catholic programming 24/7. Do your friends a favor. Tell them about Catholic Radio Indy.
Catholic Sports Weekly is underwritten by AAA Roofing Company, where they offer full-service professional roofing, including repairs and maintenance. They're a fourth-generation, family-owned business, equipped, trained, and uniquely qualified to serve your roofing needs. Using a professional roofer protects your roof and your building investment. Information about AAA Roofing is available at 317-635-2928 or at www.aaaroofingcompany.com.
Welcome back to Catholic Sports Weekly, this show underwritten by AAA Roofing and also 21ology.com. Well, one of the most talked about stories, really, that's been going on, not now, but really in all time, because people are really, really into this because of the cheating scandal with the Houston Astros. Here they were in the 2017 World Series against the LA Dodgers, and they were using technology, allegedly, got to say that word, allegedly, to steal signs. And it's my pleasure to welcome Rob Barber to the show. Rob, good to have you on and talking baseball with you.
Hey, Will. Thank you. It's great to be
back on and talking baseball. It doesn't feel it so much outside today, but
a little cold.
You know, but it always it gives me the warm fuzzies when we can talk and think about warm summer days. So
yeah, it does. Well, you're a longtime coach, former player, played at IU. Did you had a little cup of coffee as far as professional baseball, didn't you?
I did not.
Oh, I thought you did. Okay.
I did.
But you're a big time Dodger, and you're well connected with some of the Dodger organization, right?
I am, and have a lot of friends that have played and coached over the last weekend. I went to the Indiana High School Baseball Coaches Convention, and one of really the highlights of the whole time for me was that a player that I coached when I was just starting out in 1993 and 4 doing this, and he happened to be Mr. Baseball in 1998, J.D. Clauser, and he was the a manager and catching coordinator for the Yankees, and he spoke to the high school baseball coaches, and he's now been hired as a catching coordinator, but he will be a major league manager, mark my words, because he was a catcher, smart guy, and but he was, and he played about 5 years in the big leagues, and so I got to talk to him, and I got to talk to A.J. Zapp, who was a first-round pick in 1996 and was Mr. Baseball. So both those kids I coached right at the beginning, and we were just standing there, the three of us, talking for about a half an hour over the weekend and reflecting back, talked a little bit about what you want to talk about today, and got some perspectives on them. But, that's fun. But I did not play, so I live vicariously through.
Well, you played at IU. You played at Indiana University. You just did not play in the pros, right?
That's correct.
Yeah.
That's
okay. Right. And tell me a little bit about we're going to talk about the base Indy also. That's another thing you're doing. But let's get into this Houston Astros cheating scandal. For the people maybe just listening and they're not sure, what are you talking about? Help us understand. And remember, we got to say allegedly. What did they do?
Yeah. Well, the Houston Astros. There's a couple of things that they had done. Is that they had some of their video staff, and we know video staff because of what we experienced, even you know, with in the Colts and stuff of how that can be. Our nemesis had done some things. So in baseball, of course, you get a view from center field, and you get a perspective in. But in general, they'll get up and they'll show the batter and the pitcher and catcher. And that's a pretty good view to see where the pitch was and the strike zone and those sorts of things. So it's, you know, every major league game and every major league park, that's a position that the camera is set up. But during that feed, they are not allowed to have an additional camera out there or another feed that actually comes in to that gets up close, like the picture we can see sometimes. Like a lot of times watching a game, we can see what the sign is
from the catcher, what the catcher's sign is giving to the pitcher,
Yep. And so the problem with that, of course, is that's usually only about 5 seconds from the time he gets the signal in between pitches until the time he gives it and then the pitcher delivers it. So very short period of time. And so what the Astros were doing was set up a camera. They had the camera center field, put the feed that came actually into their dugout, which they're not supposed to have, and then they were looking and picked up the catcher signs. And then they created a couple of different systems to communicate that immediately to the batter. One of them was pounding on a trash can. So if you're up and you're looking at the pitcher, catchers, you'll notice sometimes look up at the batter as they're giving a sign to see, you know, is he turning his head? Is he looking down, trying to pick up the sign? And the pitcher sees that too. And, you know, that's usually a recipe for a high and tight fastball if somebody does that. And it's not very common that guys will do it.
Yeah.
But if you're a batter and you can look ahead and you hear something and you hear a boom, that's a one, and then that's telling you it's a fastball, or a boom, boom, it's going to be a breaking pitch. So that's what they were doing. It could be, and it's certainly now expanded to the conversation about the Yankees.
Well, there's talk that Altuve potentially, and maybe other players, they were wearing some sort of a piece on their chest or something that was triggering the same sort of like a pulse or something that would let them know if it was one or two, right? That's also being alleged that they were wearing some sort of device on their chest that would give them the same cue as to what was coming, right?
That's right.
How would that work? Right. How does a batter pick that up that quickly? That's what amazes me. I mean, I played a little bit of baseball 1 year in college, and man, that would have been hard in those seconds that you're talking about to get that signal and realize that that ball that's about to come to me is going to break. I mean, that takes pretty good skill to be able to do that, I think.
Yeah, it does. And when you think of the number of spring training at bats, and you think of the season and the batting practice they take, they see a lot of those. But a lot of what they see, of course, in batting practice is or fastballs. And they're taught, for the most part, as hitters, we look for fastballs and adjust to off-speed pitches. Occasionally at a big league level, you know, if they're guessing and they're looking for a big curveball, and again, because you can't go the other way, if you're looking for that breaking pitch, you have to be a little more relaxed if you're trying to be disciplined, you're trying to wait a fraction of a second longer. And if he throws the fastball and you're looking for a curveball, you're probably going to take that pitch. And if it's a strike, guys will sometimes take it for a call third strike. But for general approach, we talk to younger guys, high school players, college players, we're looking for fastball, and then we're going to adjust down because we can change our speed and hold back and be able to hit that. So these guys are up there with that mindset and thinking fastball, 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 and just listening for a cue. And, you know, if you're a guy that's got a devastating curveball like a Clayton Kershaw, you know, and Kenley Jansen's got a cutter, and you know that, you've really taken away maybe the biggest weapon that a pitcher has, and that is he's at a big league level, he's got the ability to throw multiple pitches for a strike. And so a batter really can't sit back and take pitches. And so the ability to know that Clayton Kershaw is throwing something that's off speed, that's a little bit round, and that you can and you know that that's coming is a huge, huge, huge advantage. And I think it was Alex Wood that's pitches for the Dodgers that said he would rather have faced guys in the steroid era than he would guys who knew a pitch was coming.
Yeah.
And I think it's for that reason, because you, at least the guys in the steroid era, at least they didn't, you know, they still had, the pitcher still had that weapon. They still had that tool that, you know, that they could use, the element of surprise and changing up pitches and things like that. And they lost that.
Yeah. Talking to Rob Barber, local baseball coach, and also with the Base Indy. TheBaseIndy.org is a place you can go hear more about his organization. But real quickly, one more thought on this, Houston. A lot of us and people who look at this and say, well, what's the big deal? Well, it seems like, you know, in NASCAR, for example, there used to be an old saying, if you ain't cheating, you're not trying, you know. And baseball forever, for 100 years. You've tried to steal the signs a little bit. The guy standing on second that's a base runner is trying to cue and help the batter, and everybody's trying to figure out what they're going to throw. Is this different primarily because they use technology, or how is this different than what's been going on for 100 years?
Yeah, that's a great point. And the reason that this is different than what we have done, and you're right, if the catcher – which this has happened, and we've taken advantage of it in high school and travel and things. If the catcher is lazy and leaves one of his right leg open, and the first base coach, you can pick up, you can see all the signs that he's giving, and then you can say a batter's last name, pitcher. But if that's laziness, or if a coach does it, or a pitcher tips it, but what is different here was that they couldn't do that in another park.
Yeah,
and it's using technology. It's something that's not available to everyone. It was sneaky, and it gave the hitters truly a really unfair, and they knew it, unfair advantage at their home park. And I think it was Chris Russo on High Heat on the MLB Network had said, well, the Dodgers won a game there. And I would say the Dodgers won a game in spite of that, because you look at Yu Darvish, who had a tough series of both sides, but you look at Kershaw's splits of his first game in Los Angeles, and you look at what happened to him, and I think it was in the fourth and fifth inning, you know, it's just radical, radical difference.
Yeah.
And so that's it. But they use technology in a way that is against Major League Baseball rules, and that it's in the World Series. They won, you know, you could go into Game 7, but they really shouldn't have even been in Game seven. And that they won a World Series as a result of cheating.
That's interesting. And there's still going to be a lot of shoes to drop, I think, on this. We'll find out more and more and more as this continues. Thank you for your insight on that, Rob Barber. Real quickly, we got to go, but thebaseindy.org is a website. Tell me real quickly kind of what's going on with the base right now and what's next.
We are preparing to lock down our clubhouse over 25th in Sherman. That's a tough neighborhood. There was a robbery over there. There's been three. There was a shooting over at Dollar General store. It's a tough neighborhood, Martindale Brightwood. It's right off of Keystone, 25th Street. You see the juvenile center. Back there, we have a center that is going to be part baseball facility and provide baseball resources, but also part community center to provide wraparound services from counseling to classes to food. Yeah. And other services through Ed and Martin Christian Center and other partners, the Indianapolis Indians and Strata. So we've got some, that's our next up, and that should be coming up here in about the next 60 days.
All right. Well, thank you for what you're doing with that. It's a great thing for the kids who need a lot of help, and we pray for you and your organization to continue that service, really. TheBaseIndy.org.
Hey there, it's Mary from Coffee and Donuts with John and Mary, that crazy Catholic show and podcast.
Yeah, we're the show that keeps you minimally informed, moderately entertained, and maximally Catholic.
Yeah, we also make you crave maple bars, so don't listen when you're hungry.
Yeah, probably want to eat a snack before tuning in.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Coffee and Donuts with John and Mary, serious Catholics who don't take themselves too seriously.
Join us for Coffee and Donuts every Saturday and Sunday morning at 9:30 right here on Catholic Radio Indy.
At Catholic Radio, we love to hear from you. Call us anytime. Just recently, we found this message on our voicemail.
I'm a non-Catholic that listens to your Catholic radio station, and I just wanted to thank you guys. I listen to Catholic Answers and Al Cresta sometimes, and I think her name's Teresa Tommy. I listen to her and another show or two. I appreciate it.
Call us at 317-870-8400 and let us know what you're thinking.
I just called to say, even though I'm not a Catholic, I listen to your station.
You can hear the Holy Mass every day at 8 a.m. right here on Catholic Radio Indy.
Catholic Sports Weekly, underwritten by AAA Roofing Company and the Elam Group. Thanks to our special guest this week, Rob Barber, and also Ryan Dean. We do appreciate you listening. Get out to the high school city basketball tournament. It is underway this week. Go enjoy the kids and have a lot of fun. Again, thanks for listening. We appreciate it. God bless.
You've been listening to Catholic Sports Weekly with Will Hampton, the program that looks at area Catholic sports and the positive impact they have on athletes, coaches, supporters, and fans. Join us each Tuesday and Friday afternoon here on Catholic Radio for Catholic Sports Weekly.